fighting for America.
Our officials are saying that it was a Russian surface-to-air missile that allegedly brought down the Malaysian flight.
The Ukrainians will be pointing the finger at Russia. Russia will point the finger back at Ukraine.
Fighting for Idaho.
If it's publicly available information, why'd you ask the IRS for it, and why'd you have to meet with Lois Lerner to get it?
I cannot disclose any specifics about the investigation. Your boss, the Attorney General, is a bad witness. Please don't be a bad witness.
Fighting for you.
One way or the other, we're going to have to deal with the consequences of the Federal Reserve artificially propping up our economy while it has tried to help this administration limp through its poor economic policy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers, you know them, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Coming up, we'll speak with Barry Peterson, talk about the lawsuit that perhaps could save the state Republican Party, but he's going to save America. National intelligence expert, Kerry-Patton.com, author, commentator, filmmaker, man of the world. We're blessed to have him with us today. Good morning, Kerry.
Hey, good morning.
This is, as they say in the world of sports entertainment, boy, business sure has picked up.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's crazy right now. Everything going on in the Ukraine, what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Israel. Like, the world is chaotic.
Right. Of course, that was. It seems, and again, you're a published author, so please don't be offended, but it seems like I'm reading a Tom Clancy novel, but it's fact, not fiction.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think one day there's going to be generations behind us that are going to say this was World War III. And the reason why I say that is because when you look at the different conflicts that have unfolded globally and where they have unfolded, it is very similar to the past two world wars. You have different theaters, if you will. And, you know, even though everybody says, you know, World War II, it was about, you know, Germany and the Japanese fighting everybody else. Let's not forget, those two nations weren't really necessarily truly aligned with the same strategic goals. So in that regard, I'd say when you look at what's going on in the Ukraine today, and by the way, it's no longer just the Ukraine. There's a couple other little hotspots in Europe that are having some issues too. And then you look at the Middle East, well, there's two different theaters. And it does resemble a very similar note to a world war, which we've had in the past.
Of course, we always say that will never happen again. You could see where, whether you know this was intentional or not, a plane gets shot down, feelings get hurt, people have to respond, and all of a sudden there's no backing out.
Well, wait a second. There wasn't just one aircraft that was shot down this week. This was the first commercial airline that was shot down. There was also a Ukrainian military cargo aircraft that was shot down earlier this week. Along with that, there were reports of a Ukrainian fighter aircraft that was engaged by a surface-to-air missile that happened to miss, but then got into a dogfight with a Russian MiG fighter. And supposedly, the Ukrainian aircraft did wind up losing that fight. So right now, there are at least three aircraft that have been downed just in the past week or so in the Ukraine. Now, how did they all go down? We know two of them was from some type of surface-to-air missile BUK system or an SA-17, SA-11 NATO-style surface-to-air missile. The other one is, you know, very sketchy.
Kerry Patton with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. So, Kerry, when you first heard the news, what went on in your mind? And thank you for expanding on not just one plane, but other planes as well. What went on in your mind?
You know, obviously it's tragedy, and you're very concerned. But, you know, when you're talking about an airliner like this, and you look at what's going on in the Ukraine, there was no way it was coming from a man pad, a manual portable, you know, system. This was a true SAM. There's a difference there because of the range. You're talking about, you know, miles up in the air it would have taken to shoot something like that, so a commercial aircraft out of the sky. So, you know, when you look at it from the distance standpoint, you realize this is not a terrorist incident. This is coming from the support of a nation state, because these Russian BUK systems, or again NATO SA systems, they're, you know, that's crew served. That's not just one person. That's like on average about 8 people, you know, utilizing this one system. So they're very big. They're very mobile. And immediately that's what came to my mind. This was not terrorism. This was truly a nation state, you know, that shot this down.
And yet, do we really know who was behind it?
You know, if you look at trend analysis, again, just from the past, you know, week with the other aircraft that were shot down, it was the Ukrainians that were losing their aircraft, not the Russians or anybody else. So with that said, I would look at this as more than likely this came from Russia.
Amazing. So we're not talking about the Ukrainian rebels.
No.
We're talking about officially the Russian government themselves.
Well, hold on now. All right, now let me take that back, because you did it to me. You mixed in the Ukrainian rebels as in the pro-Russian separatists. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about them, I look at that as that's Russia, right? Because Russia is fully supporting them. They've given them their weapons. They've given them their training. They've given them money. They've given them everything. That they're just a you know, a branch of the Russian military. In fact, Russia has a known branch. It's a legally binded branch of their military that comprises of separatist movements, if you will. So, and we know that they are working in the Ukraine right now. So, yeah.
Wouldn't they have an official minder, though, to prevent this from happening?
Wait, what was that?
Kerry Patton with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. Wouldn't they have like an official minder to prevent this from happening? Or are they just, is this kind of like a franchise, if you will? If you could explain the relationship between Russia with Putin and this offshoot that is a spinoff that is being supported by Russia.
No, Kevin. No, they don't. And that's the whole interesting thing about it. You know, Russia for how many years has been watching the world around them, and they've been doing a really good job of observing different organizations and their tactics, techniques, and procedures. And what they've done is they actually stepped up their game and said, you know what, we could do what nations like Iran have been doing. We could do what nations like Saudi Arabia have been doing. We could create official / unofficial proxy organizations to do our dirty work for us that would legally keep us out of, you know, any type of international court for quite some time. And what I'm referring to is hypothetically Iran and Hezbollah. Right now, that relationship, we know Hezbollah is absolutely 100% part of the Iranian military force, because it was founded and created under the IRGC and Al-Quds systems, and there's so many lineage there, so much of it. So, and that's basically what the Russians are doing right now, too. They're creating a force that does, on the surface, separate them from any type of official capacity, but when somebody really looks at it and they put the pieces of the puzzle together, they would absolutely win a battle in court if this was like some type of, you know, organized crime concept, and prove that they were part of it. So, no, I think this is what Russia's doing really well, actually. In fact, to some degree, we did it too with some of our contractual forces.
Which goes back to your books, Contracted and Contracted 2.
Right.
Kerry Patton with us here at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. So if you were in the State Department, and I know you talked to your friends in the intelligence community, what would be the response, if any, to this?
No, again, you know where I stood on Syria.
Right.
And I said we should have absolutely zero dog in that fight. And I feel the same exact way with the Ukraine. And by the way, Ukraine is not a friend of the United States, contrary to what so many people would like you to believe.
Really?
No. So let the two just go at it, and, you know, it is what it is.
Well, you could almost say that for Iraq. Kerry Patton with us here at 580KIDO. Before we get to the Middle East and everything else, I do want to find out what you've been up to. I know you've been filming, you're writing, you're doing some other things. What's the latest if people want to follow you?
Yeah, well, I was working on a documentary several months back, filming out in Arkansas on a military nonprofit organization called the Valhalla Project, and we were creating a documentary out there called Plato Was Wrong, and thankfully our editors got back to us. They gave us our skeleton for it, so basically it's, you know, it should be done. The documentary should be done within the next month or so, so that's the biggest news right now coming out of the Kerry Patton world.
Not only that, but you certainly want to make sure the veterans are taken care of. Your thoughts on the continuing surprise about the VA scandal?
No, you know what? I'm kind of staying a little bit shy away from that type of stuff right now, and the reason being is it's gotten to the point where I actually know two persons that are in some hot water because they started speaking out, and they started speaking out too loudly.
Wow.
And this is coming from the government. Call me a little bit paranoid, if you will, but that's where I stand on this one. It's concerning to me right now.
Sometimes paranoia can be a life changer and a lifesaver.
Yeah.
All right, Kerry Patton, we can continue on here. Coming up, I do want to talk to you about the border, certainly what's going on in Gaza, our old friend the Iranians. So stay tuned. Our good friend Kerry Patton with us, kerry-patton.com. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Now. Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO coming up at 6:35. State GOP Chairman Barry Peterson on his lawsuit to save the state GOP, exclusively here at 580KIDO. We don't forget our friends, Barry. We're with you all the way. Joining us once again, Kerry Patton, kerry-patton.com. Kevin Miller in the morning. So let's talk a little bit about the fun, the frivolities, everything going on the border. What do you make of that?
Yeah, the border's a wreck. You know what, though? It has been a wreck for a very, very long time. And I know people are saying this is different, this is different, this is different. We're intentionally bringing these people in, blah, 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 blah. I hate to be the burden of bad news, but this is not the first time we've done this. And that's where it gets very interesting. Remember, I don't know if you knew this or not, Kevin, but I actually once worked for U.S. Immigration and Naturalization Service.
No, I didn't.
I worked down at Calexico, California, and two other ports of entry. And one of the things that it's concerning to me is immigration law, okay? I hated my job working for USINS. And the reason being is it was so confusing, even for somebody who – I went through FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, and I graduated the academy. And then I went back to do another academy that would help me, you know, build upon my career when I was working for INS. And I was even more confused when I left then, because there's – hundreds and hundreds of laws when it comes to immigration here in the United States. And with every single law, there's a minimum of one waiver. And that's not just to come into the country. It's also to not come into the country. So here you are working in the border, and you see people, and you're like, all right, cool, you meet these requirements. But wait a second. Now I got to remember, because there's a waiver today that says you can't come in because of this reason. Or, you know what, initially I thought you couldn't come in, but now I see there's a waiver that does allow you to come in. So it was the most confusing and just the biggest racket I've ever seen out of the government. And the reason why I say it's a racket is because the American Immigration Attorney Association, or whatever the hell it's called, has over 12,000 or 13,000 members. That doesn't mean that's how many immigration attorneys there are in the country. That's just membership for this one organization. Why do we need that many immigration attorneys in America today? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the laws are so messed up, these immigrants need legal sponsorship.
But the issue, Kerry, is
the same as when our forefathers came here
right.
and went through Ellis Island.
Right, and Kerry, but you bring up a great point. See, here's the problem. Those are the people that are trying to do it legally, never mind the illegals. If you try and do it legally, as you've just pointed out here at 580KIDO, you're penalized.
Well, that's exactly right. So what's the point anymore? Like, I don't sympathize. By the way, if anybody thinks I'm sympathizing with these illegals, I'm not. What I am doing is I'm empathizing with them, though, and the reason being is because I know how messed up our system is. It's easier to come here as an illegal than it would be to come here as a legal.
Kerry Patton with us. So what about the gangs? What about the diseases? What about, you know, and I'm with you. The border's a mess, but has the dam broken?
Well, yeah, the dam is broken, but it's been broken for a long time. That's the problem. And when you talk about the criminals, especially the violent, let's not even call it criminals. When you talk about the true no-nonsense violent criminals that are coming in, to include terrorists, because we know they come in too. We also know that there's foreign assets coming in, like, you know, hypothetically spies and so forth that do come in. When you talk about those issues, though, yes, it happens. Yes, it's horrible that it happens. Yes, I'd love to see these people never be able to come in. But the fact of the matter is those numbers are so, so small in comparison to the legals that are coming in. Look, I'd love it if we could get all the dirt balls out of, you know, hypothetically Camden, New Jersey and Philadelphia and New York City and all these other big cities out and put somewhere else as well. But the problem is, you know, we have our own issues, and a lot of these gangs that are coming into the country already have, believe it or not, sponsorship from their gangs that are already here. So, you know, it is what it is, man.
All right, let's go to the Middle East. What's going on in Israel?
Well, we know that now there's, I guess there's some ground forces going into Gaza, Israeli ground forces going into Gaza. And to my understanding, it's more or less solely to get rid of the tunnels that are in Gaza right now. And the reason they're really going after the tunnels are because the Hamas terrorist group that's predominantly in Gaza right now, they're using a very unique tunnel system to smuggle Hamas operatives into Israel itself, along with weapon systems. So their big goal is to rid these tunnels. They're not doing a sweep and clear necessarily type of operation just to get rid of Hamas operatives and kill all sorts of people. This is more or less they're going into Gaza to clear the tunnel systems.
All right, which is more dangerous, the border, the Gaza, or the Ukraine?
Do I have to pick those three, or can I throw a fourth wrench in there?
Only because it's you.
I would say China's still the big scare for me right now. China and Russia as a combination threat really concerns me more than anything.
Militarily, how are we doing as far as our troops, as far as our supplies, as far as our research and development?
Research and development took a serious, serious hit. And right now I'm convinced that the majority of those involved in research and development for the military or DOD as a whole really are mismanaging a lot of the funds, a lot of the personnel and so forth. In fact, I have a friend that's actually visiting me later on today who works in a very, very unique, you could call it a dark side research and development concept and for the DOD. And it's so fun listening to him because he's so frustrated because, again, it's a boondoggle, you know. Everything these folks are doing, it's got to go through so many layers of bureaucracy. And our research and development, like when you talk about places like DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, even that, it's a bureaucratic, you know, quagmire right now.
And finally, Kerry Patton with us at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. How about this one? Your thoughts on the reintegration of Bo Bergdahl, and don't you think it's kind of rushing the fact that he's been debriefed for 2 months and now he's back to duty?
You know, I'm sorry for laughing, because anytime I hear Bo Bergdahl, I just have to laugh, because it's hysterically sad to me that we've put so much time and effort into this kid who, I know people that are on the pro Bo, you know, team, they're like, well, why is it funny? You know, this guy, you know, he went through hell and back, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes and no, and I'll argue with every single person that wants to tell me that he actually did certain things on his own now that he's released. I know for a fact, my buddies from Eclipse Group were tracking Bo Bergdahl since the moment he left, you know, his fob. We had guys that were tapped into the Haqqani network who told us exactly where he was. In fact, one of our biggest sources from Eclipse Group, he actually lived in Pakistan, and right next door was one of the main guys from the Haqqani network who was responsible for escorting Bo all around the country. And yes, our government knew the guys from Eclipse Group were tracking Bo Bergdahl from the moment he left, and there was plenty of reasons why we didn't get him back earlier. And it was because he was no longer the priority that he should have been if he was truly, truly captured the way how some people are claiming he was today. So when I look at Bo, I have to laugh, because now I could come across and say, I know the guys, and I'm not going to confirm or deny if I was one of them or involved or anything like that in any way, shape, or form, but I'm really good friends with the guys from Eclipse Group that were responsible for tracking his every move.
So why are they letting him run around on TGI Fridays?
Because this is a political win for President Obama and this administration, for the people that are too ignorant to know the truth about this whole organization known as the Haqqani Group, the whole entire Bo Bergdahl concept. This is a big Democratic campaign win. We got Bo back, and we're going to do everything in our power to make it look like this guy was what he, you know, really wasn't.
Kerry Dash Patton, as always, you've delivered. Thank you, sir.
You got it, partner. Have a good one, man.
You too. Kerry Patton with us. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Controlled by the rebels.
It's just shock. You get this sick feeling in the pit of your stomach.
298 people died from at least 10 countries.
We were supposed to be in that flight.
Something wrong with the world today.
It's not just the airstrikes they have to worry about anymore. It's the actual ground invasion.
We just keep hearing one explosion after another.
In a different way. I went out and saw a plane falling right on top of me.
The military feels that this is something that they have to do.
It looks like it may be a terrible tragedy.
We're living on the edge.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get to the phones quickly to Jim in Middleton, then we'll talk to our friend Barry Peterson. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Kevin. It's Coffee Kevin and KIDO this morning. Thank goodness coffee starts with C, otherwise you'd be called a racist.
I see. Thank you.
Hey, that Kerry Van Patten fella, he kind of just substantiated what I talked to you about earlier in the week or last week about the Bo Bergdahl fella.
Okay.
You know, and this is just another Obama-caused disaster, the border, his handling of this situation, and so forth. So you seem to know this Kerry fella pretty well. I mean, is his commentary or his comments, are they pretty credible?
I would say I wouldn't question his sources.
Okay. So anyway, I really enjoy listening to that guy. He just seems to have a clear and to the point without, you know, double talk and what have you. How did you get to know this fella?
You know, I just been a big fan of his work and, you know, reached out to him, and the rest is history.
Anyway, well, you picked a good one there, because I enjoy listening to that guy, and just by his delivery and tone and what he's given you, is pretty factual. So anyway, I just wanted to comment on that, Kevin, and obviously the suspicions are warranted for this young man, Bo. So
I wish that Kerry were wrong. I hope that he would be wrong.
I'm sorry, say again.
I wish that Kerry was wrong on this one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But anyway, well, Kevin, I'm going to get back after it. I just wanted to comment on Kerry Van Patten's comments there. And next week we'll see what the next Obama-caused disaster will be.
Something to look forward to. Thank you, Jim.
Okay. Take care, Kevin.
All right. Our great friend Jim in Middleton at 580KIDO. We're joined by the chairman of the state Republican Party, our friend Barry Peterson. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Kevin. It's nice to hear your melodious voice.
Melodious indeed. You know, it's funny because earlier in the week I go, I wonder what's going on with Barry. We haven't heard much from our friend Barry Peterson. And lo and behold, breaking news involving you.
You know, it is kind of amazing how stuff can open up one window one day and a door the next day, and events happen.
I'm with you, Barry. Let's talk a little bit about this lawsuit that was filed yesterday in Twin Falls. Can you give us the background on it?
Well, the purpose for the lawsuit is to try to draw all the players that are involved in the affairs of the party to function within the rules of the party. And in this particular instance, we are suing Mike Matthews, the first vice chairman, and Cindy Sitaway, because they called for a meeting on August 2nd, and all the factors associated with the call for the meeting fall outside of the rules. So to draw them into compliance with the rules, we filed the lawsuit.
What do you hope to accomplish with the lawsuit, Barry?
Well, just the main thing from my perspective is to have everybody recognize that our rules we imposed upon ourselves, we put them in place over the course of many years, and we just hope that everybody will function within the same governing rules so that we have order and that everybody knows which way we're going.
Well, what do you say to folks, and we'll talk to Chris Troupas later on in the program today, but what do you say to folks that say, well, just because the National Party says this, that Barry should follow what the National Party says?
Well, I reflected back on the National Party a little bit. The day of the convention on June 14th, as I was headed home, the convention was held in Moscow, and when I arrived in Lewiston, I got a call from Reince Priebus, the national chairman, congratulating me on being the state chairman again. But shortly thereafter, within 2 days, 2 or 3 days, why, there began to be great big question marks that came up. And since that time, there's been a constant turmoil as to who has authority, who doesn't have authority. And recognizing that was coming on that was the 14th, the convention on the 16th, I called to order the Rules Committee to determine whether or not the action taken at the convention would stand. And that Rules Committee was to meet the following Thursday, which was the 19th. And in the meantime, when I say they, I guess we can call them the establishment, they didn't want things to go that away, so they created a crisis on whether or not our treasurer held office and whether or not he could appropriately sign a financial filing with the Secretary of State on Thursday the 19th and with the federal government on Friday the 20th. It was our position coming out of the convention that he was in office and he had full authority to act within the requirement to sign those documents, which is done electronically, by the way. But they, for some reason, they wanted to organize, and so they called a meeting late on Tuesday night to be held the following day at 5 or 5:30. Which fell way outside of the rules. One, they didn't have authority to call the meeting, and two, the rules require you give 10 days' notice for an executive committee meeting. And therein, they supposedly reinstalled all the officers except myself. And that enabled them to from their perspective, go ahead and sign those documents.
Barry Peterson with us, State Republican Party Chairman, our friend Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Back to your conversation with Mr. Priebus. Anything else that you can share with us? So he, after the convention, said, Barry, congratulations. Job well done. Looking forward to working with you again. And now, what's going on with the National Party?
Well, the Nationals of recent days, they've gone fairly quiet. But when you consider that they get the pressure from the governor, from Senator Risch, at first from Senator Crapo, but now Representative Simpson, and they are using as their attorney Jason Risch, that's a lot of pressure to come on the national chairman to come out and make a statement, which he did, and we'll see what happens relative to that. But I want to mention, Kevin, if you'll permit me, the conversations that were happening at the close of the meeting when there was a call for an adjournment. Purportedly, a fellow named John Ashland, one of the delegates, said, what are the consequences if we adjourn? Because that can't be good if we don't have officers. It doesn't make sense. And he got a big applause. And Raul said, well, if we adjourn, the current chairman remains the chairman, the current agenda and everything, the platform, everything the party has right now remains the same. And he said, this John Ashland, well, what are the terms at the adjustment? Don't their terms end at the adjournment, or do they just loop over? I'm trying to figure it out. And Raul said, well, that's a great question. And he said, and then Raul came back and said, the platform stays the same. The officers stay the same. Everything continues on until the next election or the next convention. And this fellow responded, all right, call for the vote. So we voted, and we all voted to go home.
Barry, do you believe that the folks that believe that everything would remain status quo were misled?
Well, I don't believe they were misled. You know, they were making a judgment at the time they voted based on what they were told. And I can't imagine that Raul or anybody else for that matter would have intentionally misled the group. And when they made their vote, they did it in full faith that what they were voting on would stand. Now, having said that, there's been a lot of comment about me wanting to pursue power. Well, if anybody thinks this job has power, I welcome them to it. But from the early negotiations on who might be our state chairman, which began on Thursday, the 14th, or 12th of June, from then till now, I had been more than willing, as did all the other candidates, were more than willing to step aside for a compromised person to be the state chairman. But at no time in all of that negotiating has the word come from the top that, okay, let's do something. It just hasn't happened, and we regret that.
Well, what would you like to say to the governor? Do you believe he's calling the shots for the establishment?
Well, the governor has repeatedly said that he does not want to get involved. He wants the grassroots to settle it themselves. Well, it's time, in my mind, it's time to call the governor out on that statement. Then why have he and his people spent thousands of dollars? I estimated it's almost $20,000 to win precinct races in Ada County, Canyon County, Payette County, and Elmore County to take over the grassroots of the party. And they were successful. My hat's off to them. But for him to deny that he's not participating in the event, that's not appropriate, and it's not being quite forthright. And if he has the power, he has the power. That when we take the votes are counted, and where they fall, that's the way it is.
Barry,
and, you know, being right doesn't mean you always win. I can remember very clearly when the Supreme Court heard the health exchange argument. We all thought that the health exchange argument would fail at the Supreme Court. irrespective of that, Justice Roberts came out and he found a way to justify making it a law.
Right. Barry, we've only got a couple seconds left here. So in your own words that you can define right here at 580KIDO, please once again describe the goal of this lawsuit.
The goal of the lawsuit is to stop the meeting that has been called for August 2nd and to go ahead and hold the meeting to be that's held on August 9th. And that meeting is the State Central Committee meeting to affirm what happened at the convention on the 14th of June.
Well, Barry, good luck.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Remember who your friends are.
You got it.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Our friend Barry Peterson on the lawsuit filed yesterday in Twin Falls. Chris Troupas, the attorney that filed that lawsuit, will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We always welcome your comments at 580-5436, kevin@kidoam.com. Time for traffic.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, coming up, we'll talk to Jim Schmelick, get his thoughts on the lands issue and other state of things. You missed our interview with Barry Peterson. You can always check him out at 580KIDO.com, our podcast. Let's get you to traffic. Serving